Okay, welcome back. Apologies, last week we got cut off on account of the blackout. So we'll try to continue from Daf Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. We're here about halfway down the skinny lines. The Gemara asks, so you know, again, this is what the Seder HaTekiyot looks like according to our minhag. It says tekiyah, that's what we call, that's what it's not called, pshuta, the still straight note. There's always a tekiyah before and there's always a tekiyah after. In the middle, sandwiched between the two tekiyot, is a truah. What the truah calls a truah. All we know about the truah is that it's not a tekiyah. So if the tekiyah is a straight note, a pshuta, we know that a truah has to be something else. However, there's, as you know, a machlokas, whether the truah is the staccato, what we call, or is the truah what we call the shvarim. Or, according to our minhag, do we combine both of them together? And that's, I think I mentioned last week, that we had mentioned the week before, Rav Kook's teaching on what it means to combine the two together. But whatever the truah in the middle is, forget the fact that we have different nicknames for our contemporary notes, one of which happens to be called truah, but all of them really are the truah, because the truah is the blowing that's in the middle. And it's always surrounded with a tekiyah on one end and on a tekiyah on the other. So you realize that these three sets of three rows, one set of three, two sets of three, three sets of three, are done in order to fulfill all the different possibilities. But if we knew with certainty which is the proper truah, so then we would blow one set of three. Tekiyah beginning, tekiyah ending, and whatever the truah is in the middle. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we know? Minayin shepshuta lifoneho. How do you know that you have to have the truah, the tekiyah before whatever is in the middle? And how do you know? Right. So Talmud lomar utkatem truah. So this is a pasuk from, I said last week, from last week's parsha. But last week's parsha is already 2 weeks ago in Baal Osecha. Baal Osecha, there's a discussion of the Chatzotzrot, which, mind you, were not shofarot. They were silver, long silver trumpets. But we learned some of the dinim of the tekiyot from the Chatzotzrot, because they were performed in the same way. It seems that the Chatzotzrot were introduced there because before we got to Parshat Shlach, although for those of you that are in Chutz La'aretz and listening in, it is last week's Parsha because you're a week behind us. But before you get to Parshat Shlach, before they know that they're not going into the Midbar, there's a whole discussion of the arrangement of the Machaneh and the encampment as it would. Excuse me one second. Sorry. So the arrangement of the machaneh and the blowing of the chatzotzrot were signals. They were ways of letting people know when the machaneh was moving and when the machaneh was stopping. And the pasuk says utkatem truah v'nastau. You blow the shofar. You blow the slicha. You blow the truah, and the camp knew it was time to go. Utkatem truah shenit v'nasua machaneh achonim teimana. In other words, the first blast and the shvatim that were encamped on the east would go. And then you blew a second blast and the camp on the south would go. Truah yitka'u lemaseihem. And presumably there'd be a third and a fourth blast as well, but the Torah doesn't specify that. So presumably it was east, south, west, north in that direction, right? They would head off. So how do you know you have to blow a tekiah beforehand? Utkatem shu'ah, because it says have a tekiah and then have a shu'ah.
It's interesting that it used that because it's, you would think from the way it says utkatem shu'ah that taka is more of a general generic term for blowing and shu'ah was the specific one. If you can go back to the Bamidbar.
Yeah.
So it says in the next pasuk, "Ubakila takal titku velotariu." In other words, it's actually very clearly distinguished between the verbs, not only the gerunds, the nouns, but also the verbs. Litkoa and laria are two very different procedures. When you do one, you can't do the other one. So it's strange that it would be generic in pasuk he and above, but then in Zion they're distinct and they shouldn't be. You would imagine it would just say varetim tua, and not tekatim tua, where a possibility which end up leading to the drasha that it should be tekatim tua as it's kia and tua.
Right. So here's the Gemara learns that here from the so here it says tekatim tua. So first you have a tekia, then you have a tua, and then at the end it says tua yitkau. First you have a tua, then you have a tekia. Which shows that the trua has to have a tekia before and has to have a tekia afterwards. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara goes back, Rabbi Shmuel beno shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, eino tzarech, harei hu Omer utkatem trua shenit. But wait a second, there's a third pasuk, and here it says tekia trua, at the end it says trua tekia, right, trua yitka'u. So from that we learn that the trua has its kia before and its kia afterwards. But what do you need this part of the pasuk for at the end? Because in the middle, in pasuk vav, it says utkatem trua shenit. So that's the second. Blowing that comes afterwards. So she'en tabla doma shenit. Right, the Torah doesn't need to have to see you have to blow it a second time. Either you learn it out because the word tkia utkatem appears twice, or you learn it out because it says have two tkiot. So the Torah doesn't need to say the second the Torah doesn't need this pasuk because you can learn it out from this pasuk. So the Gemara says zebna'av. It's a binyan av. It's there as a general principle. Binyan av. To tell you that whenever you have a trua, you have to have a tkia afterwards. Meaning it's not just the halacha here by the chatzotzrot. It's every time there's some form of trua, of the chatzotzrot, of the shofar for Rosh Hashanah, of the shofar for Yovel. It's there to teach you the general principle. That's called a binyan av, to kind of set up the template for how this takes place. The binyan av is one of the shlosha ser midot chatur and addressed by it. Shekol makom shenemar trua, tei tkiya shnia. Whenever you have a trua, you have to have a second tkiah that follows it. There's a tkiah that comes before, there's a tkiah that comes afterwards. Ein li ela bamidbar, Rosh Hashanah minayin. So, in other words, these psukim that we're learning these halachah from, this is from the chatzotzrot in the midbar. How do we know that it applies to the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Lomar. Trua l'gzeira shava. It's there to teach you that we learn the gzeira shava, that we apply the laws of chatzotzrot and the laws of shofar through the word of trua. The Gemara asks, v'shalosh truot ne'emru Rosh Hashanah. So the word Shru'ah appears three times. How do we know? Okay, see, we know that you have to blow, right? The reason that we have three sets of three is because we're not sure what the proper Shru'ah in the middle sounds like.
Okay.
Or in order to accommodate different customs, but we don't know what the since essentially we don't know, that's why we have to have three sets of three. And if we knew for a fact what the authentic Shru'ah was, so then we would only have one set. But what do you need to have
three sets of one?
What then?
No, if you knew what the authentic Shru'ah was, then you might still have three, but three sets of one.
Ah, so the Gemara doesn't seem to say that. The Gemara seems to say we would have one set of three with whatever the authentic Shru'ah in the middle is. So what's this? Why do you have three at all? In other words, why not just have one Shru'ah?
No.
To have it.
Takatim feels three times in those three.
What, David?
Because Takatim appears three times in the Pesukim, the verb.
So that's what we learned. But without that limud, maybe Tkiyat Shofar. Forget the fact that we blow 100 times, right? We go crazy. But maybe what's the D'oraisa obligation? Maybe the D'oraisa obligation is one Shru'ah. Yom Shru'ah Yelochem. So how do you do that? Maybe that's the whole Tkiyat Shofar D'oraisa. No, let's go home. What do we, you know, only we would take something so simple and turn it into a whole day affair and then do it twice. So why do you at least have to have one set of three? And of course, one set of three means nine, since you need to have the tekiah before and the tekiah after. So it's three times three is nine. The Gemara says, Ushloshat Shru'ot Ne'emru B'Rosh Hashanah Shabbaton Zichron Shru'ah. That's one pasuk. Yom Shru'ah Yelochem is another pasuk. And V'Havarta Shofar Shru'ah. Right? Three times the Torah talks about Shru'ah. So from that we learn out that you have to have a minimum of three sets of three Shru'ot. And each Shru'ah, of course, has its tekiah before and its tekiah after. So then the Gemara says, Ushtei Hold on, I lost my place. Ushtei tekiot lekol achat v'achat. Matzinu lamdim shalosh Shru'ot v'shesh tekiot ne'emru b'Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's how you get to this. Right? Three Shru'ot in the middle with six tekiot, three before, three after. That's the minimum tekiat shofar. But then the Gemara says, of those three sets of notes, shtayim midivrei Torah, v'chat midivrei sofrim. Really, even that is not the bare minimum, because of these, hold on a second, let me do this one. Of these, right? In other words, let me show you what the real Min HaTorah is, right? In other words, this is the bare minimum. But even that, two of them are D'oraisa, and one of them is D'rabbanan. So really, only this is D'oraisa. So how do you get the two D'oraisa to one is D'rabbanan? So the Gemara says, Shabbaton Zichron Shru'ah, V'Avarta Shofar Shru'ah, Midivrei Torah. Two of the Pesukim obligate us in Tkiyat Shofar Min HaTorah, so you need two Shru'ot. Yom Shru'ah Yelachem L'Talmudo Huba. But the Pesuk of Yom Shru'ah Yelachem, that is to teach you something else. That's not there as a source of obligation. That's there to teach you a certain halakha. What's the halakha? What's the halakha that's coming to teach you? That tkiat shofar has to be in the daytime. Yom trua yelachem. So the ikar of that pasuk is the word yom, not the word trua. So we discount trua. We use it as a source to add another trua midrabanan, but it's there just to teach you that you have to blow shofar during the day and not at night, so that that even that is not part of the obligation. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, achat midivrei Torah, ushtayim midivrei sofrim. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani goes even further. He says, where am I? He says that the minimum tkiat shofar is three rows, three truot with a tkiah before and after, but only one of the rows, only one set is diraisa, and the other two are dirabonon. Right? That really mina Torah, all you have to do on Rosh Hashanah, if we knew what the correct truah was, would be and that would be enough to be yotze. It would make it very easy. Everybody could be a bal tokeya, because everybody can crack out one row of a tarat, but we end up doing 100. So how do you get that one is minat Torah, echad midivrei Torah, v'shtayim midivrei sofrim, v'havarta shofar trua midivrei Torah, that the midiraisa obligation is learned out from the pasuk of v'havarta shofar trua. Havarta shofar trua is understood to mean cause the sound of the shofar to be mu'avar, to be spread out, to be passed around, meaning to be heard throughout the encampment. Shabbaton zichron trua v'yom trua yelachem l'talmudo huba. And the other two psukim are coming not to teach you the obligation of tkiat shofar, but for separate halachot. Ma'ila talmudo huba, vibay biyom v'lo b'layla, v'idach biyom v'lo b'layla manala. So if without that pasuk, how would you know, where would you derive the idea that the shofar has to be blown during the day and not at night? Nafkle mi biyom kippurim. So e biyom kippurim yalif, so if we would learn it out from Yom Kippur, you can't rely on Yom Kippur. Because it is, if that was Yom Kippur, so then you could also learn the halacha of having a pshuta lifaneha and a pshuta lachareha, a tkiah before and a tkiah afterwards. Right, so v'ha'avarta ta'aviru lo mashmalahu. So from the pasuk v'ha'avarta shofar, right, that you should proclaim, you should make the shofar sound throughout, and ta'aviru, you should send it around, you should send the sound around. So he doesn't learn. He doesn't learn from the shofar from that, and he says that comes to teach you something else. What does he learn out from Ve'avarta v'ta'aviru? Ta'aviru deka'amar rachmana na'avrei biyad. So somebody might have thought that the Ve'avarta, we learn out the pasuk Ve'avarta shofar, means what do you spread around? You spread around the sound of the show. You blow the shofar and the sound goes all around. So somebody might have thought that v'haviru was pshuto kamashma'o. You take the shofar in hand and you carry it around the machane like the lulav esrog. You show everyone the shofar. It's not about blowing the shofar. It's about It's about circulating it around town. Idach, the Rav Masna, midashane b'diburo. So the other Tana learns these halachot out, that you have to have a tekiah before and a tekiah afterwards. From the change of the normal way of saying things. Because it says ta'aviru. In other words, what is ta'aviru? How do we learn out the pasuk? Aviru means to blow the shofar, right? You blow the shofar, and that's ma'avir, the sound all around the machaneh. Instead of saying, it could have said, tatkiu shofar b'machaneh. So from the fact that it says ta'aviru biyad lo matzit, the gomar avara avara mimoshe. Right? It learns it out. This havamina that you can carry the shofar around biyad without blowing it, that the mitzvah would have nothing to do with the sound of the shofar, it would have to do with displaying the shofar all around town. Is from this pasuk, v'avarta shofar trua uktiv hatam v'yitzav Moshe v'yaviru kol b'machane. So there's a different pasuk. Hold on. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayakhel. I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
Lamed Vav Vav. Lamed Vav Vav.
I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward.
Okay. Or just scroll up on the right. It's in the
V'yitzav Moshe v'yaviru kol b'machane lemor ish v'isha al yaseh od melacha l'trumat hakodesh v'yikale ha'am mehavi. Right, the famous pasuk that you know, when they called for the nidavot to the Mishkan, you know, it's the subject of very many famous drashot. Rabbi speeches. The only time, of course, that the too much, well, they had to tell people stop donating. So they blow a shofar to tell people to stop bringing. Now that tekiyat shofar had nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, and it had nothing to do with Yom Kippur, and it had nothing to do with the chatzotzrot of the encampment and moving things around. Right, it was a siren. It was a. Now hear this. Now hear this. It was that noise you make before the PA system. So from that pasuk, v'tzav Moshe v'yaviru kol b'machane. What do we learn out? What's the one essential shofar halacha that we learn? No. The word kol,
of course,
right? That v'yaviru means spread the noise around, not v'yaviru. This havamina that the mitzvah is to circulate, showing everyone in town the shofar. That v'yaviru is not meant to be read literally of pass around the shofar, but it means disseminate the kol hashofar. Mala halan b'kol, afkan b'kol. Right? So that we learn. That's where he would learn out that the aviru is means to blow the shofar. Lahaitana demaite lo mamidbar Imala halan chatzotzrot avkan chatzotzrot. Talmud lomar tik'u b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. I might have had a havamina, but yom trua yelachem. What's interesting about that pasuk?
It only mentions trua.
It mentions trua, but what do we know? You can make a trua with a chatzotzra also, with a silver trumpet, right? So it's not a crazy havamina to think that on Rosh Hashanah you also blow the silver trumpet. But no, Talmud Lomar, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageinu, right? That's why you need a separate pasuk to specify that the tkiah of Rosh Hashanah, that's kesel yom chageinu. B'chodesh means Rosh Chodesh. Which Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. B'kesel yom chageinu. The holiday where the moon is Mechuseh, right? You know, that's the nickname of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva is Ben Keseh La'Asur. Right? Keseh is the nickname for Rosh Hashanah because of Kisui, because the moon is covered up. Now, David is going to explain to us.
So actually, I've got to have a humorous thing where I once saw years ago in the Jerusalem Post, they used to have some sort of like religious spiritual kind of program during the Seder Yemei Tshuva. They called Ben Keseh La'Asur, but the Jerusalem Post translated that in their TV guide, this is in the 90s, as between a chair and a decade.
Oh, but the chair, but that's a chair is with an aleph.
I didn't say they did a good job in their translation, but that's what they called the program. That's what they called it.
Okay, that's pretty bad. Actually, I thought of you the other day. I saw some really blunder of a translation. But, does your wife still collect those humoristic?
So
Ben Keseh Yom Chageinu. So that's how we learn out that the tkiah and the trua of Rosh Hashanah, even though we learn certain halachot about the procedure of blowing it from the chatzotzrot, is dafka with a shofar, b'chodesh shofar. Ezu chag shechadash shechodesh mitkasebo. What is the holiday where it's covered up, the moon is covered up? Haveyomer zeh Rosh Hashanah. Right, you know, Rosh Hashanah, it's the only holiday. Other holidays are Pesach and Sukkot are, of course, on the full moon, right? Which, if you don't have a calendar, it's handy because you can look up at the night sky and know what's happening. Yom Kippur, you don't need an astronomical feature because you just count 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. Shavuos, similarly, you count 49 days after Pesach, 50 days after Pesach. But Rosh Hashanah is the one holiday which is, it almost like requires a leap of faith because there's no moon to show us when it is. V'kama rachmana shofar etkin v'yabahu v'kesari tkiah shlosha shvarim tshuva tkiah ma nafshach. Right. This is the famous Gemara of Rabbi Abahu in Caesarea, right? Who said that you blow all three different ways, right? That he combined. We have the tkiah, shvarim trua. We have the tkiah, trua tkiah. Rabbi Abahu said, do both. Combine them together into what we call the tashrat, where you have the shvarim and the trua together. So the Gemara says manafshach, that if the correct note is what we call the shvarim, so we blew the shvarim, and if the correct note is the truah, then we blew the truah. What do you gain by the shvarim truah? Right, it's either this or it's that. But what's the idea of combining them together? Iyalulayalol. If it's the sharp, piercing noise of the truah, la'avid kia truat kia, v'iginu cheganoch. But if it's the sad, moaning, plaintive noise of the shvarim, la'avid kia shloshat shvarim kia. So do a tashat. Right? Misafkale. Biginuche ganachilu le yolil. And she says, no, it's a suffix. It's a suffix. Whether it's a set. So matkifla rav avira. The dilma yulule hava. The kamafsik shloshashvarim. Bein shrua letzkia. So maybe it's really the trua. Right? Maybe what you're supposed to do is tkia, trua, tkia. So then here, you're doing tkia. What we call shvarim, which would be nothing. It would be insignificant. Because if it's not the right note, it's nothing. And therefore, it's just a hefsek before you get to the the trua. So Gemara says, the hader avid kia shvarim tkia. So that's why we do it. So why not just do this, right? Because this wouldn't be good, because if the shvarim in fact is the incorrect note, so then these notes don't count for anything. And that's why we do this and the combination. Hold on. So matkif la ravina, vidilma ginuche hava kamifska chua ben shvarim tkiev the hada avid tashat. Right? So and the same thing the opposite way. Ella Rabbi Abahu my atkin. What was his takana? In other words, either it's this or it's that. Either it's shvarim or it's chua. But by putting them together, all you're doing is you're in other words, if you do tashat and then you do tarat, it's flipping a coin. It's 50-50. One of them is right. But the tashrat, combining them together, should seem certainly wrong, because whichever one is the wrong one is mafsik bemtza, in the middle. El Rabbi Abahu Matkin. So what was his takana? Like how does this help anything to do this? Right? Hold on a second. So iginu cheganach ha'avde iyulu leyalu ha'avde. If it's a trua you need, you did that, or you will do it. And if it's a shvarim you need, you'll do that. So misapka le dilma gonich viyolu. So the Abahu said no. Who said? Don't think of it the way that it's conventionally taught. We're not sure if it's this or it's that. This is not a mere compromise. Maybe the proper trua consists of both types of cry. We thought the problem was we're not sure if the Torah's trua sounds. Or whether it sounds oi, oi, oi. So Rabbi Abahu is not a compromised position. It's a third position. Maybe the Torah's trua sounds like this. Ay, 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 ay. Oi, oi, oi. And those, it's not like we're not sure whether the shofar is supposed to cry like an old Sephardi lady or like an old Polish woman. Right? He thinks it's meant to sound like both. So Ihachi, the Gemara says, Ihachi, Liaved Nami Ipcha Tkia Trua Shlosha Shvarim Tkia Dilma Yolil V'gonach Stama Dimilta. Maybe like the way that people cry is that first you cry out sharp and then you moan. I mean, this is true. Like, you hear, like, really bad news. Your first reaction is, oi! And then you kind of, as it sinks in, that's when, like, the sobbing comes. The, Mitra be'inish. Milta b'reshe gonach v'hader yolil. First you moan, and then you whimper.
I like the, I mean, as a linguistic note, if you look at Rashi on those two, you can recognize the related English words that come from those two Loazi words that Rashi suggests for the Bereshe Gunei Ganach and Vahader Mele.
Let me find it here.
The bottom of Rashi, so.
Yeah, here. Bereshe Ginuche Gonach, Ginichot Arukot, Komplanya Balaz.
Which is cognate to what in English?
Complain.
Complain.
But kvetch. What is this? What is this word?
It's like recite. It has to do with recite.
To yell.
To yelp.
So that's the Hebrew, but the French that he's quoting.
Right.
No, I understood.
Okay, I think we'll pause here. We have very little left. Maybe. By the time we finish, we'll be able to have our barbecue. That would be nice. But next week,
that idea.
Next week, some of us at least have a wedding. So I assume we won't meet unless we meet a different night. Yes. No.
Maybe.
I'm about to do which night.
Yeah.
Well, so I'll send around the questionnaire. We'll figure it out. Okay.
Okay.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.